It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I have been debating getting into this subject for some time now. I'm going to need your help. We're going to sort this out together, because this is one of the most sensitive, controversial subjects we can touch on. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or you can email me directly at drbrown.org. Or you can interact in real time on our Facebook page. That's also Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. I am talking about the issue of racial tension, racial misunderstanding, racial pressure within America today, in particular since President Obama has been in office. Now, if you don't know me, and you're prejudging what I have to say, or assuming I'm coming from a particular viewpoint, please listen, okay? And I'm asking honestly for constructive conversation today, okay? If I say anything that offends any ethnic group, be it Hispanic or Black or white or any other group or Asian, if I say anything that offends, it's not my intent, because I have no ill will in this matter. My desire is to have constructive conversations. So I'm going to give a little history first, but I'm only giving history so you understand why I'm approaching this issue the way I am. Okay, fair enough. So give me a hearing first. Give me a few minutes to lay out my thoughts and then jump in either with criticism or confirmation, but above all, with constructive thoughts. All right? Many of you who've been listening for a couple years plus to this broadcast, remember that when I first brought up my differences with then-Senator Obama in terms of some of his policies when it was during the presidential primaries, I got a phone call from someone, happened to be a Black listener, and I happened to be white myself, saying, why do you have to bring up race all the time? And I said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, why are you always bashing Obama? I said, well, first, I'm not bringing up race. I took issue with his policies. I said, you know, Alan Keyes, I used as an example as a conservative Black leader whose policies I liked. And here is a Black leader whose policies I didn't like. And then as the primaries went on, I liked Sarah Palin's policies as a woman. I didn't like Hillary Clinton's policies as a woman. So it had nothing to do with male, female, Black, white. They're issues. But this caller said, you always seem to be bashing Obama. I said, well, no, actually, I'm not. The first candidate I took issue with was John McCain, when he said something that I didn't agree with, and that wasn't because he was white. And I said, when I took issue with policies of President Clinton, it wasn't because he was white. And I began to say, look, race is not the issue. The issues are the issues. But then I would repeatedly have people feeling that my criticism of Senator Obama was somehow racially driven. And again, it was the furthest thought from my mind, because I felt it would be a tremendous privilege if in my lifetime I could vote for a Black man to be president of the United States. I thought that'd be an awesome privilege. I couldn't do it in conscience because of my differences on key issues with then-Senator and now President Obama. When he was elected, I did a show and I asked callers to tell me how they were feeling, and some callers called in that were euphoric, and some were Black callers, and I wanted to share in their sense of joy and do my best to see things through other shoes. Because look, I am a white man who was born and raised in New York City, Long Island. I was born in a home where we didn't know concepts like racism and prejudice. I was born in a very open-minded home, but I didn't grow up in a heavily segregated community. I don't have the history that many of my Black friends do. I don't have the history of pre-segregation days, or the segregation days, pre-integration days. I don't have the history going back generations, so I can't reasonably think I can get in someone else's shoes. I don't have the history that our Native American friends have. I don't have the history that some recent immigrants have. I've got a different history. I'm Jewish, so I have a history that you can't fully relate to if you're not Jewish. So I did my best to listen to callers and to try to hear out what the issues were. And I remember one black woman called in, and I was doing a show on can we separate political moral issues from race, and she called in and said, no, it's a stronghold, and we must pray against that stronghold. And she said that she would sit with friends and share with them views that then-Senator Obama had, and they absolutely differed with the views. And then she said, well, those are his views. And they said, no, you can't believe what the media tells you. She was frustrated being in church prayer meetings that were praying for the election of Mr. Obama. So I set myself then to look at how I could be constructive, how I could try to see another perspective, how I could see if there were blind spots in my own thinking, a lack of sensitivity or understanding in my own thinking. If there was anything racially tainted, my own thing, I always examine myself. I joyfully examine myself. If I'm secure in the Lord, why shouldn't I examine myself? Not in some guilt, terrible. No, just open before the Lord. Is there a blind spot? Is there something I'm missing? At the same time, try to help my black friends to see if there were insensitivities or blind spots or things they were missing. Is that fair? What I do myself, I'm asking my listeners to do as well. And the same thing to challenge white listeners to lack of sensitivity or perspective. When President Obama was elected, I remember some folks saying, well, give him 100 days, see how he's doing. And if you listen to the show, you know I'm not getting into politics every day, and I'm not bashing him. You know. Go listen to my 100 last shows and tell me where there is the Obama bashing. The few times where I'll feel something serious enough to disagree with on the air, I do so respecting our president but differing with his policies. But here's the big issue. Before he was elected, I said, here's my concern. If he is not the right man for the job, it is going to exacerbate racial tension in America. It is going to create even more problems. Instead of unifying, it will divide. I gave that as a clear concern and warning. I can't give you the exact date, but if we check our archives, we could easily enough find that for you. What I was concerned about in my mind has absolutely happened. I've watched it unfold. And now, as his popularity is dropping massively in the polls, with the exception of the vast majority of the black community still giving him a very high rating, his popularity dropping drastically, I am concerned that further differences with him will be perceived as racial, that further differences with decisions he makes will be perceived as racial, that if there's heavy voting against incumbent Democrats in the fall, the great majority of whom are not black, but if all of these white men and women are voted out and new faces come in from the Republican Party, that will be taken by some as a racial attack. And this concerns me. And I want to find a way to work through this. I want to find a way as brothers and sisters in the Lord, or if you're not a believer in Jesus, feel you have some constructive input. What do we do when God knows an issue I have with Mr. Obama, say, inviting gay activists into the White House, 300 gay activists on the anniversary of the Stonewall riots last year, and the 40th anniversary of Stonewall, and proclaiming June Gay Pride Month and saying we want to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military, and giving express sympathy for radical gay activism during his campaign, and backing that with words since, and having an open homosexual bishop pray the day before his inauguration at a public meeting in D.C. as a sign of inclusion. Those things grieve me deeply. He could be a white Jew. If he was a white Jew, they'd grieve me even more because I'd hold him more accountable as a Jew. All right? But if he's white or black or Native American or Hispanic or Chinese or whoever he was, that's utterly immaterial to me. I've always said that. His radical pro-abortion stand has always grieved me, but it has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with race. And as I've said over and over and over on the broadcast, my prayer is that he'll be the greatest president in American history. My prayer is that God will so get hold of our president, Barack Obama, and so use him that his name would be revered in our history books, and that people would want to give him another 4 years because he has been such a righteous, godly, wise leader. Now, thus far, I see it as the opposite, and it concerns me because I believe it is going to inflame racial tension, racial misunderstanding, and I believe it's happening right within the body. So what are we going to do about this? First, do you agree with me? Do you agree with my assessment? 866-34-TRUTH. And what are we going to do? Let's have a constructive conversation. Feel free to be as blunt and candid as you like, because we are going to have light rather than heat. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us, folks, on the Line of Fire today. If there's a show where I need your help, meaning you're into action is what this show is about, then today is one of those shows, because I'm talking about working through racial tension, racial conflict during the presidency of Mr. Barack Obama. I respect him and honor him as president, and you will never hear me bash him or attack him in crude ways or in insulting ways here. But you know, I profoundly differ with many of his policies, just as I profoundly differed with many of President Clinton's policies and some of President Bush's policies. It has nothing to do with white or black to me, yet the tensions are rising, and I want to talk through what we can do about it, how we can talk to each other without talking past each other, what we can do in particular if we consider ourselves brothers and sisters in Jesus. Then there are constructive things we can do rather than just pointing a finger or saying you're missing something. So I want to hear from you just as I'm asking you to listen to me. 866-34-TRUTH. You can interact in live real time on our Facebook page, AskDrBrown.org. Excuse me, Ask Dr. Brown just on Facebook. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. Elwin on our Ask Dr. Brown page. And from the picture I can see, he is a black gentlemen, sit down and eat together, he says. We can talk until we're blue in the face, but if we can first start by sharing a meal, we can then start to see eye to eye. Also, instead of looking for what makes us different, start asking what we bring to worship God. From there, we shall see that our ethnic differences unite to bring a wonderful sound of praise unto the Lord. Let me start with LaShunda in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks so much for calling. And please share your perspective with me.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, I was just listening to your show and thinking about where I come from, African-American community, and we were very pleased that Obama was president. However, just certain things that I disagree with his policies, being a Christian woman and being conflicted within my own race, it's almost like you really can't say anything bad about Obama without sounding like you're not for him. But as far as race, I feel like we've always had issues of race, and why, especially with black and white. Why is it always black and white? And why can't we as a group, we have National Prayer Day, why not pray for the president as Christian people, black and white, and have mm-hmm. him to kind of stand up? He says he's Christian. Well, then show us. Show us what you believe in. Prove it to our nation by being that type of leader.
Let me ask you this question, LaShunda. Obviously, you have a lot of black friends that are believers as well, right?
Right, yes.
All right. Do you find within your own community of believers that if you take issue with the president, you as a black woman are being perceived as doing it in a wrong racial spirit? I mean, I can understand if someone mistook me as a white man for doing that, mm-hmm. but would you be subject to criticism as well?
I would, but just not on the same level because I am black, if that makes any sense.
Sure, okay.
It's like certain things that, as a white person, it probably wouldn't be in your best interest to say because how it is perceived. And I've seen the Tea Party on television and how they burn effigies and have a lot of racial things to say about Obama. But I'm like, well, is it about his race or is it about his policy? And if you can make a clear distinction between the two, let people know where you stand, just as opposed to just shouting out things because of what you hear your neighbor say, because your taxes are raised. You know, find out more information before you say these things, because they're going to show those on television. I don't know much about the Tea Party, but from what I've seen, it's all negative. It's all bad.
Yeah, well, you know, on that level, and I'm my caution with Tea Party stuff is only if there's a real angry spirit behind it. From what I've read, from black members of the Tea Party, there is no racism. These are false charges being raised. And someone said, hey, there are thousands and thousands of pictures at the rallies. Just show us one where any of these things have happened. But I think if we can do what you're saying, which is let's get all of our information first, and then let's come together where we can. Somehow we have to be able to have the conversation. That's why I'm risking doing it in this context, to say, why do we have to be so tense? This man's our president. I'm supporting him as our president, although I'm grieved by many policies, mainly the moral ones. You know, I mean, the economic things I have issues with, but it's the moral things that really get to me. But I think unless we talk about it and bring things up, we're not going to get past this. So anyway, hey, yeah, go ahead.
My fear is that I hear white people, some white people, not all, say that, you know, well, you had a black president, you had your chance to get your act together, and you didn't do it, so there's no more excuses. There is no such thing as racism. We have a black president, and that could be further from the truth.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
And, you know, so that really bothers me. So if we could have, you know, some of your white listeners, even black listeners who feel the same way or disagree, to just chime in and just say, hey, no, that's not true. Racism is still here. It's going to be here for a while, because I believe that people, as a race, black and white, we never really dealt with slavery. I think it stems from there. Just speaking openly and just sitting down and talking, have community days where people in different communities all over the nation sit down and talk about it and settle it or come to a healing.
Yeah, or at least understand why different sides are sensitive about different issues. Until we do that, we can't get past it. Hey, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. God bless you.
You're welcome. God bless you as well. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. 866-34-TRUTH. Chris in Stokesdale, North Carolina. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. My name is Chris. I was just, I just look at it if it's a man, and whether he'd be black or white. I was raised, I'm a dark-skinned white male, and I was raised around a lot of black people in their house, them in my house, teaching them to bathe, them teaching me how to eat, and just different things. But if a man is living for God and he takes an oath, whether he be black or white, and he believes in God, the Bible says nothing about you know, man sleeping with man. It does say that, well, it says man should not lay with man, nor woman lay with woman. Now, how can you get there and you be a godly man and you want to, you know, you want to say that gay marriage is okay? And, you know, it's just, it's nothing to do with race. Like you say, it's about the policies and the different kind of things that go with that, you know?
So Chris, let me ask you this. As a dark-skinned white man, were you ever subject to discrimination or mistreatment because someone thought you were black?
Well, you know, I've been called Mexican, I've been called black, I've been called Indian, you know, and it doesn't affect me in heart and spirit, because I know who I am. I feel like it's about respect and how you treat me, not what you call me, you know, because sticks and stones, you know, they'll break your bones, but you know, you just got to go back to God's word, because God's word has nothing to do with color, you know. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the truth. And if you're going to be truthful, and you want to be truthful enough to have people to stand behind you and to put you into office, you should be truthful enough to know that if you've made a mistake and you're doing something that is against God's word, you should be able to accept it and admit that it's wrong and follow that policy of God's word, which this country, the United States, was built on, and it was really blessed on, and we took God out of this and we took God out of that, and, you know, it's just come unreal. And, you know, if you're going to stand back like he has said something about
Hey Chris, I'm just going to jump in. We got a break here, but thank you, sir. Loud and clear. Okay, Gregory, you're up next. And what are we going to do about this? Here we have a black caller saying that where she differs with our president's policies on moral or other issues, that she's perceived as being disloyal for other blacks. How do we get through this? How do we listen to each other and come to a place where we can address issues separate from race? Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Michael Brown, seeking once again to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a real difficult topic here that we're facing, especially in America. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you'd like to weigh in, you can join our ongoing real-time discussion on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, AskDR Brown. By the way, if you're on Facebook, make sure you join that page, because every day there are several important links being put up, links to new articles on our Voice of Revolution website, links to recent messages that I've preached at Fire Church or other places. So it's a good resource and a great place for you to weigh in as well. We are talking about racial tension today, racial conflict here in America. I'm not criticizing anyone. Well, there are people I differ with, obviously, but the point of the show is not to criticize. Why are you being so sensitive? No, that's not the point. The point is to say we got a problem. As brothers and sisters in Jesus, what are we going to do about it? I raised a concern before Mr. Obama was elected as our president that if he was the wrong candidate, if he was not going to be a good president, if he was going to take very controversial moral stands and hurt the nation in other ways, that it would actually hurt race relations because he was being heralded as our first black president. So I have prayed and said on the air many a time that my prayer is that he will be the greatest president in American history. But, you know, I'm gravely concerned in particular about many of his moral stands, and not just him, that where the Congress is going, the Democratic-led Congress. And I say this as I'm not registered Republican or Democrat, and I don't have much faith in either political party, to be honest with you. But here's the problem. I believe that since Mr. Obama has been elected, that racial tension has risen, not decreased. Many were saying that there would be a healing with him coming into the presidency. But because of his controversial policies, I believe that all criticism against him, or much criticism, is perceived by many as being race-related. How are we going to work this through? What are we going to do as brothers and sisters in Jesus? How can we talk about it? Look, if we can't talk about this, if someone's going to get, if either side, I don't care what color you are, is going to get offended or upset the moment I raise the topic, and we can't talk about it in a civil way, how can we possibly move forward into any semblance of unity as brothers and sisters? And if I can't see that I have a potential blind spot, or if you can't see that you have a potential blind spot, how are we going to move forward? Our first caller, who happened to be a black woman, made the statement that there's a conflict she has, obviously with solidarity with her own people racially, in other words, certain shared heritage and perspective, and yet differing with many of the decisions that Mr. Obama's making, that's perceived as disloyal. Why is that? Well, I thought with the election of a black president that we could now get past that on a certain level, because we've proved, look, he's in office mainly because of white votes, right? I mean, the majority of the population being white, and you got large, you know, constituency of white voters, especially young people. So that's why he's in office. It wasn't just black voters that got him in office. It was blacks and whites together and other groups that got him in office. And yet it seems to this day we can't talk about our differences many times in a civil way without there being instant misunderstanding. What are we going to do about this? Feel free to take issue with my perspective or to bring your own. 866-34-TRUTH. Gregory in the West Indies, thanks for calling today.
Good day, Dr. Bone.
Good day, sir.
I enjoyed talking, getting in on your show.
Thank you.
I would love to say this, that we're... President Barack Obama is concerned. Down here in my country, in St. Kitts, a.k.a. St. Christopher in the West Indies of the Caribbean, so it's known by two names, St. Kitts or St. Christopher in the Caribbean.
Okay.
Down here in my country, they were even celebrating the election of Obama, because in my country, the population is overwhelmingly black. I am black.
Mm-hmm.
I am black. And because of that, even many people who profess to be Christian supported Obama and but I and I do not know of anyone else, but I publicly went on radio long before he got elected, since he got elected, and have continually criticized him and state my disagreement where he is concerned and state my opposition to him where he is concerned. And in my country, I have gotten a lot of opposition. I've gotten a lot of verbal attack. But that is what I still continue to do.
Now, Gregory, let me just jump in and ask you, what are the biggest, I'm sure you have a long list, but what's the short list of the biggest issues that you have with President Obama?
Yeah, okay. First of all, I would like to say this. Even though I'm talking about Obama, we're applicable. I'm talking about to all the nations in the world as well. We're applicable by extension. So even though I'm talking about Obama, I'm not just limiting to Obama. But,
okay.
But what I would like to say is this. Some of my biggest problem with him is, for example, his stance on abortion, homosexuality, and his socialism.
Got it.
As some would say, his fascism, depends on how you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I would class him more as a socialist. But
all right.
Those were some of my biggest things with him.
Right. And what type of response are you getting as a black man in a largely black country criticizing the first black president? What type of criticism are you getting?
Well, I'm getting a lot of negative criticism. Like, you know, I'm crazy and all sorts of other negative criticism. Some of them I can't even repeat on your show. Nevertheless, but what I would like to say, though, in my personal opinion, even though I'm not a supporter of these two gentlemen, if I think that if they had got elected, I think they would have made, anyone out of the two of them would have made the best president in American history. And they are either Ron Paul of the Republican Party or mm-hmm. Bob Barr of the Libertarian Party. I think if any one of those two guys had got elected, I think they would have been the best president America would have ever had. That's my personal view.
Got it. So you're not just weighing in with the mainstream Republicans there. You think that there needed to be a very different approach to leading America.
Yeah. Because I think those two gentlemen, to the best of my knowledge, and I don't know of everybody who was running. I don't know. I'm only talking about those right now. But I think those two gentlemen, I think their policies were nearer to the biblical model of how a government and a country should run, their policies. They were for very limited government. They were advocates of the capitalist system. And I just think, relatively or comparatively speaking, where the contenders are concerned, I think these two men had the closest model to the Bible where government is concerned. And Ron Paul.
Gregory, thank you for weighing in. Clearly, I appreciate it, man. It's nice talking with you. We got a break and got to run, but thank you, sir, for calling in. All right. Here's my question. Can we differ with Mr. Obama plainly, clearly on his policies without the race issue coming up? Come on, we're a couple years into the presidency. Can't we do that? Isn't it about time? If I'm missing something, tell me. I'm all ears. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Thanks so much for your calls, your posts discussing these hot button issues of racism, of racial reconciliation, of working through racial tensions during the presidency of Mr. Barack Obama. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. For those just tuning in, this is not conservative right-wing radio, and I'm not an Obama basher. I take profound and respectful difference with some of his policies, as I have taken profound and respectful difference with the policies of other leaders. And if he was a Jewish man, I would take even more profound opposition to his moral policies for common heritage reasons. But the big thing I'm trying to put on the table is, how, since you know me, if you listen to me, I'm not an Obama basher. There are news sites every day I go there, and all there's headline after headline after headline trying to make him look bad, attack him. And just like there were news sites during the Bush presidency, a headline after headline just bashing him, trying to make him look bad. So we're divided. I don't look at it as racial division, but I'm sure it's there as well. I want to find out what we can do so we can talk to each other about it, so we can understand each other. Gil, who's actually a friend of our family from many years back on Facebook, grew up with our daughters, you know, friends, kids together. He said, first thing we have to realize is the playing field's not level. In other words, that whites have benefits and history in our society different than blacks, so the playing field's not even. I recognize that. I recognize that point blank, which is why I said let's talk and help so we can help each other understand better. Arthur in Charlotte, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's your take?
Like I told the guy that screened your calls, I tend to be more liberal, but I have some, you know, really conservative views, especially when it comes to social views.
Yes.
I tend to be on the more conservative side. And for me, as an African-American, when I disagree with the president, I find it harder and harder to disagree with them because instinctively I want to defend him because I feel like a lot of what's being said is racially motivated. And I'm not talking about what's in some of the news articles and stuff like that. Case in point, you know, when I turn my computer on and if it's the Associated Press or anybody else writing an article, all you got to do is go to the comments, and it's some of the most vile, hateful, racist things that I've ever seen in my entire life written about this man. And as an African American, for me, it just makes me so uncomfortable and so angry that we still have to do with this. My defenses automatically go up. And
yeah, understood. Yeah, and Arthur, let me just jump in. That is a massively important perspective there. You know, when you get past the article and what's being presented professionally to just see your average Joe and Jane weighing in.
Right.
Yeah, I can understand how you'd feel defensive and how you want to stand up for him as a gut reaction rather than be critical.
Exactly. And that's defeating the whole purpose of us getting together to have a constructive dialogue. It just it gets in the way of everything. And I don't know what to do about it. I certainly don't have the answers, but I do know that we won't get anywhere unless we can get this thing taken care of.
Yeah, in terms of dealing with the society as a whole, I share your frustration and despair. Within the body, though, where we consider ourselves fellow Christians, we've got to be able to sit down, and as one of the first quotes I read from Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook from one black brother is, we first have to sit down. I don't mean people aren't doing this, but if they aren't, we have to sit down as brothers and sisters together over the table and share perspective. Because if I don't understand your world, what you've gone through, what you're getting hit with, you don't understand my world, how can we possibly move forward? So it's got to begin with conversation to put the issues on the table first. Then we can start to move to a place of understanding and resolution.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, well, your call participates in the conversation. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right. Okay, Mike and Sharon, hang on. We will get to your calls on the other side of the break. I just want to finish reading two other comments from Gil. He said, first, the playing field isn't level. Second, deep down, white folk like me want reconciliation without sacrifice. If we really want reconciliation, we're going to have to live into Acts 2 and 4, touched by the Spirit, sharing lives together. Number three, Christians need to stop trying to say we are colorblind and start identifying the gifts that each culture has to offer. That, to me, is one of the biggest things that we find our unity by recognizing our distinctives. All right, more to come. Stay with us. you've opened up a can of worms on the show today, but quite constructively. And I really appreciate the callers, those who have weighed in, as we're talking about racial difficulties now during the presidency of Mr. Barack Obama. I feel the racial tensions are worse now than before he was elected, and I'm determined as a brother in Jesus, together with my brothers and sisters in the body, to talk about these things plainly and find ways where we can hear each other better, learn from each other, and move to a place of setting a godly example for the society. Mike in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling today.
Hey. What I find interesting or distressing is that most of us don't live our lives thinking of race. For instance, I live in a racially mixed neighborhood. My children are grown up and they've moved out. But when they were here, they had black friends, they had Hispanic friends. The kids would come over here, they would go over to their friend's house. We help each other out in this neighborhood, and nobody goes around thinking, well, that guy's black, or that guy's white, or that guy's Hispanic. And you know, for example, we were moving a heavy piece of furniture in. A friend of mine and I were having trouble with it, and this black gentleman that had just moved in a couple of houses down came running over and helped me out, and I thanked him. And then later on, I wound up helping him with something that he was doing, and now we've become friends. But the whole deal is we don't live this way. Why is it that it pops up so often when it comes to politics? And I think the answer to that is because there are certain groups of people that want to keep us separated and use race as a way to divide and conquer.
Got it. All right. Hey Mike. I got to jump in just because we're short on time. But that's a thank you for the call and the perspective. The big question is, you're in a racially integrated neighborhood, and you say race is not on people's minds. I'd love to find out from other callers if they would say, no, race is always a factor. But thank you, Mike, for weighing in. Sharon in Winston-Salem, just got about a minute for you to lay out what you're thinking, so please go for it. Hello?
Yes. I think part of it, Dr. Brown, is just the fact that we don't know our history. I'm sorry. I think there was a reason that God had the children of Israel to mount the stones and to recall and to remember and go back and reflect on the goodness that and what he had done in their lives. And we do not know our history. Black, never do you hear about the fact of the white people that freed, that helped to free the slaves. It wasn't the blacks that freed themselves. It was God placing on the heart of the white man. And also, I think one of the biggest divisions is Afro-American. We're either American or we're another country. But we're not Afro-Latin or Latino or Afro-Spanish. We're American.
Got it. All right. Hey, Sharon, two important points. Thank you for weighing in. I wish we had more time to talk, but got to run. Okay. Please reflect on this. How much cross-cultural interaction do you have? How many quality times of interaction over a meal where there's time to talk do you have with people who are not part of your culture? How much time do you spend trying to understand where they're coming from? If their perspective is wrong, you can help them. If their perspective is simply theirs, it gives you another perspective. If their perspective is right, it helps you to correct something. But look, we got to put the issues on the table. Let's be honest. Let's talk about the tensions. Let's talk about the problems. And before the Lord, let us find ways to set examples of oneness in Jesus in the midst of our differences, different expressions, different callings, different burdens, different history. Let's listen to each other. Let's learn from each other. And let us move forward. We've got to. Join the discussion at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire.